friends. We're between games here at the game table. And before we get into the next one, it's discussion time. This is Table Topics, where we read stories from Reddit having to do with situations in the tabletop world. We will react, discuss, and give our opinions on the chosen topics for you to enjoy and possibly take back to your gaming table. I'm your host, Kaylee, and my guest today is Cortland.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Today's topic is invitations. So let's get into it. Well, this was just a wild last 5 minutes we've had. I got my own recorder and I tested it and I turned it on before setting up with you. But just now we've determined it's haunted by the spirit of an alternative rock band.
Yeah, totally.
Because there kept being like a full alt rock album playing in the background. And that was very strange and scary. And if I dream as if I'm back in 2008 tonight, I'll know why. Wild. Thank you for being a trooper and working with me while I tried to figure it out.
Of course, makes it more fun.
Well, you've made some cameos on my Instagram before, but for those of you who don't know, this is my little sister, Cortland.
I'm the baby, the favorite.
Oh, okay. I mean, you're a medical doctor now, so that's kind of hard to compete with.
Yeah, no big deal.
We'll get through it. Well, our topic that we're discussing is invitations. The very beginning of the idea of hosting a game night, who do we get? Who do we invite? How do we invite them? So, you host a lot of game nights. Do you have an example of a time that someone showed up to your game night that you didn't really know beforehand? But after just that one experience with them, you were like, I really like this person.
Yeah, actually. So when I host, people always know they can bring anybody they want and it's fine. And so one of my friends ended up bringing one of her friends. And this person really was more of a serious gamer like I am. I have a lot of friends who like to get off topic and be chatty and whatever. And so this person actually brought a little bit of more seriousness to the games, as well as I had a new game that I really wanted to play, and I personally don't love reading the rules and learning the rules and learning a new game, but he did enjoy that, and he totally took charge, and we were able to play this new game, and I didn't have to read the rules. It was great.
Yeah, that's a huge favor. I know that's something that is talked about in this circle. Like, some people just really aren't learners that learn by reading, or, you know, they really have to be taught. So somebody who'll come in and do that for you is great. And by serious gamer, do you mean like competitive or just
no, honestly, really just attentive? Even like focusing on the game. Like, sometimes I have some girlfriends that just start yapping and there's no going back to the game.
You know, it's like that sometimes. We gotta catch up. Well, this might be a little bit shorter of an episode because, as you know, I've been very ill and my voice is still not all the way back to snuff, but I wanted to have something for you guys. So let's get into some stories about invitations.
Sounds good.
This first story comes from r/advice from Two Headless Johns. And the title is, Should I Stop Inviting My Friend to Game Night? I have a friend that I met through mutual activities. We used to go rock climbing together, but aren't terribly close anymore. I decided to reach out and ask her if she wanted to come to board game nights that I host. The first time I asked, she said, copy-pasted, "Hey, yep, I love board games. Thanks for the invite, but I don't think I can make it, sadly. Do you usually host?" No other reason was given. I responded, "Haha, no worries. I'll have you in mind for next time, and yeah, I usually host." So I hit her up again on a different occasion, trying one more time. "Are you free this weekend for board games?" Response, "Sorry, busy tomorrow at that time. Have fun." Should I just stop inviting her? Problem is, we could always use more people for this particular game. Reddit has taught me that reaching out to old friends is always invaluable. But in this case, it's probably okay to just stop trying, right?
So really, there was just two attempts here. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm realizing there was just two attempts.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like two attempts is not really a lot.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an early call. It seems like this poster is maybe concerned that no reason has been given, so I think they maybe feel brushed off a little more.
Yeah, especially with the second one, there was no, like, "I would love to, like, please invite me next time, hate that I can't make it," kind of thing that I would always say if I couldn't make it something that I really wanted to go to.
Yeah. I think this, the friend is being a little non-committal, but the inviter might be giving up a little early. Is that the conclusion that we're...
Yeah, I think so too. So I just finished medical school and I'm getting ready to go into residency, in which I'll be working 80 hours a week. That's all that's allowed.
Goodness.
By the books. Could be more than that. Not by the books. And so I've already like warned my friends, "Hey, I'm going to be really busy, but I just need you to keep inviting me. Like, even if I've turned you down 5 times, like, please keep inviting me because I need that. And I want to be invited. I want to know and come if I can." And so, but anytime I do, like even in medical school, when I did have to turn something down, I would always say, "I really hate that I can't make it. Like, I've got this test tomorrow," or whatever. "Please invite me next time." So I'm not really getting that same vibe from this girl, yeah. But I would just kind of need to know what her life was like, or their relationship, their friendship was like.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting examination of a communication problem, because I think you and I were raised that more explanation is better to some extent. And like, we also have this a little bit of like Southern hospitality, comforting language. Like, we're never gonna just say, "No, can't make it," and like leave it at that. But then there are so many people, you know, like, because sometimes I'll be like reading my husband's text while he's driving or something and responding to some of his male friends, and the conversation is just not there. Like, it's just like, "Oh yeah, no, sorry, bud," and like end.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And so there are people that maybe it doesn't occur to them that they should be answering this a little differently, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. But I also feel like it's not going to hurt to continue to invite this friend and try again. Like, it takes all of 5 seconds to type out a text and just try again. So I would say probably don't give up this early, especially if you need more people at your game nights. Like, just keep trying.
And try more than this person too.
Yeah.
If you need more people.
Definitely.
Expand it. It does say, you know, we aren't terribly close. So, you know, there could be something going on here that this person doesn't actually want to reconnect with you. But yeah, I don't think you should give up. Like, text, or, you know, if you really want to reconnect, you can offer something other than a board game night, because maybe that's a little intimidating because there's a lot of people. Or
yeah, I agree.
Well, we'll look at some comments. Top comments from Deleted, but it says, "I'd say after 2 declined offers, you should probably leave it at that. I'm sure if she wants to join, she could always reach out to you, knowing there is an open invitation for her." Yeah, I would challenge that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. She's never been to a game night before, so how is she supposed to expect that it's an open invitation?
It takes a courageous extroverted personality be like, oh, hey, are you still doing that thing that you invited me to a month ago? So someone responds to that and they says, yeah, I agree with this. I'd go with a no problem. We host these game nights regularly, so just let me know if you're ever interested, which would solve a little bit of what we just talked about.
Yeah.
They continue. She might be blowing you off because she's just not interested in attending, but she also might truly be interested in those first two attempts, but unfortunately conflicted with things she already had planned. Or maybe she just didn't feel like going that time, but might be interested in the future. Leaving it open-ended leaves the opportunity open, but relieves you from that crappy feeling of inviting someone who always declines. I like this comment too. From maybe Alex, maybe Molly. I think it's maybe worth it to just ask what days she is available. And if that doesn't work out, then leave it be. It sounds kind of like she isn't interested and is just trying to be nice, to be honest. OP responds, yeah, thanks. That's what I was thinking too. I'll just leave the invite open.
Yeah, because she did initially express interest in game nights with her first response. So, you know, maybe she is just not available.
Yeah. And that's something, you know, like you gave the great example of your upcoming residency. But even in med school, you know, your availability was
terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
A challenge, you know. Yeah. And I just had a friend that went through something really hard in life, and they were basically not available for 2.5 months or so. Like, they just, you know, buckled down into some commitment. And I think there's a way to understand that. There's a way to navigate that. I mean, people are always going to be getting married, getting pregnant, having family medical issues. Like, you don't really know what's always on the horizon or could be on the horizon for you. So some understanding. But then also, if you're on the other side of this, if you're like the person that he's texting and you're not interested, be clear about that.
Yeah.
You don't have to kind of lead people on in that way. I was just telling you tonight, like, my girlfriend group, we have a reading day.
Yeah.
Where we get together and just read with each other. And sometimes we gab about what we're reading, and sometimes we just sit quietly and meet each other's cats. But that's only monthly. Because there's not availability to make it more frequent than that. Just for 4 busy 30-something women, like, that's just kind of the reality sometimes. So you can't give up too fast. You can't let yourself be offended, which is kind of what it sounds like here, too quickly. Well, now we're going to look at a similar situation, but from the other side. This comes from r/unpopular opinion. Not gonna read their name.
Oh, okay. This should be interesting.
They're apparently a top 1% poster in unpopular opinions.
Okay.
So,
okay, I'm ready for this.
Take that as you will.
Yeah.
Title: the I still want to be invited, even if I can't go. People are the worst. This whole I just want to feel included mindset is exhausting. Like, sorry, I didn't invite you to an event I knew you couldn't or wouldn't come to. We both know you're not showing up. What's the point of a fake invite? It's not about being thoughtful anymore. It's guilt-trippy and emotional labor. Now I'm expected to run down a mental checklist of everyone who might feel bad they weren't getting invited, regardless of whether they actually want to go or not. That's wild. I get that people have FOMO, but if your self-worth hinges on getting invited to things you don't even plan on attending, that's not my problem. If I only have room for 5 people and you always say no, guess what? You're not on the list this time. That's just math. Let's normalize not inviting people who consistently don't show up, and let's stop pretending that getting an invite is some sacred form of validation. Grow up.
Ooh, okay. A little harsh.
I mean, the unpopular opinion is typically a little heated.
Yeah, okay. So I would say I've definitely been that person that's like, you know, I do have other commitments this day, but I still just, it's just that anxiety or the insecurity of feeling left out, even though, you know, you're not available. But hey, I want to know that you still think about me and like me as a friend and want me to come. But also understand if they're saying no so many times and you're looking for a specific number of people, you know, I can see why you would not want to invite someone like that.
Yeah. I mean, you just gave a really fantastic example of you knew your schedule was going to be trying. So you warned your friends, but you said, please keep inviting me. And that, you know, that comes from a place of trying to be included, but it also probably, you tell me if I'm wrong, comes from a place of worry that if they stop inviting you, they might stop thinking about you. And then when you're available again, you know, you don't even have the opportunity to join them in anything.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But also it's kind of like, because I can tend to isolate, especially when I'm in a busy life circumstance and things like that. But I know that, and I'm also introverted, so I know that I need to get out of the house because I actually really enjoy it and it helps me and I have a good time. Part of that too is also looking for accountability on my part and saying, hey, you know, don't forget me, but also, yeah, force me to get out of the house sometimes. Like if you recognize I'm saying no, but actually I'm not on call this weekend, like, you know, both of those things.
Yeah, that's a really good example. And, you know, that thought process is, it's so real, you know, because so many people now like have things that they're really struggling with and they will internalize it regardless of personality type or whatever. You know, so many of us want to be at home under a blanket with a book, like, or, you know, with playing video games or playing board games, whatever kind of calms you down. But sometimes you do need to force yourself to get outside, get moving, like something different like that, or you'll just get stuck in a cycle. You know, back to my wonderful girlfriends that I've found since moving to Nashville, but when I was really sick these past couple of weeks, the first day I sort of felt like getting up and going about, and I went on a decently long walk with my dog, and I texted them and I was like, guys, I went on a walk like outside in the sun. And they were all like, you know, cheering for me, like, good job and congrats, and I'm so glad you're feeling better. And it's those things that can feel silly, but breaking certain cycles that we can get stuck in.
Yeah.
It's really powerful. So this comment comes from Actress Blue Eyes. My grandfather was like this. He never went to any family events hosted by my mother. His sons, yeah, but my mom never ever. So she eventually stopped inviting him. Anytime he found out she hosted something and did not invite him, he would throw massive temper tantrums that lasted for months, sometimes even years. That's kind of wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely trickier with it being family. I feel like you kind of have to invite family to things versus maybe friends.
Yeah, but also if I was snubbed by someone every time, but then they showed up. Like, if, you know, if, since it's a dad, if every time you needed something, my dad was there, and every time I needed something, he wasn't, eventually I'd start to feel a certain kind of way about it. So,
Yeah, I can definitely see. I can see the bitterness there.
Of course, our dad would never do that.
No.
I still remember my car not starting. It's Father's Day, so we're going to take this tangent. I still remember when my car wouldn't start in Knoxville, which is about 2 hours from our house. And I called my dad just to kind of figure out what was going wrong, if he could tell me some different things to try. And this was when I was in college, so I was maybe 20, 21, I don't know. And he just came to me and figured it out and got it to a shop and let them look at it. And or no, he did it himself. He figured out what was wrong and went and bought the part and came back and fixed it. And that was, you know, that was a really great example of showing up for people. So anyway, side tangent. I'm sure you have examples. Yeah.
I love that flex about our dad. He's pretty cool.
He is pretty cool. He can figure out stuff, especially cars. And I had a friend show up for me, actually. This is an example of a really good friend and a really good dad. So I was half an hour from my apartment in campus at the same time, too. And I had a friend from my Japanese class that I knew lived out on this side of Knoxville. And I called her and I was like, weird question. Can you come and pick me up while I wait for my dad? And she came and got me, and we took me to her house, and I like met her parents. They were cool military folks, and nice. I had a great time. Anyway, Reggaeton Historian responds and says, that was my father. He did that numerous times to my sister after she gave birth. She'd invite him to come over for a party or an event or a birthday, and would even try to set him up with a place to stay or within the house. He complained that he'd have to drive to go to these things and not go. She stopped inviting him. Whenever he found out he had missed something, he'd complain in the most woe is me fashion and paint himself a victim.
Ugh, that's just ick.
Yeah.
Honestly,
that really sounds like he didn't want to be around her kid.
Yeah, like after she had gave birth, what?
Yeah, that's a bad detail.
Yeah, it's usually the other way around. Like, you know, your parents love you so much more once you have them a grandchild.
If it's a grandkid,
I don't understand.
What's this? I don't know. Here's one from PJ Original. So one of our friends stopped showing up to our gatherings once he got married. He'd always have an excuse ready, even when we were flexible and gave him multiple options. We meet about once in 2 weeks. About 6 months in, we stopped inviting him, and he got really hurt once he found out. Funny thing is, he didn't find out for 4 months after we stopped inviting him. But once he did, he kept complaining that we don't meet while simultaneously explaining why he couldn't make it on the day we were all meeting. I think that's really hard. To give an example, when we first moved to Philadelphia, Nate pretty quickly formed a great friend group of guys. They would climb together, usually a couple times a week, but they definitely all climbed together on Fridays, and then they would go to dinner and, you know, drinks afterwards, whatever. And that was really powerful for him. Like, that was a good group for him. And inevitably, they start getting married. And sometimes when you first get married, you don't really think about a lot else. You know, it's hard. It's especially if you haven't lived with the person beforehand, you have to learn so much about their lives that you didn't know before you started sharing everything in your daily life with them.
Yeah.
And you get absorbed in that. And sometimes it's really hurtful for those people. I mean, it's hurtful for the people that they leave behind.
Definitely. Yeah.
But it can also be really hurtful for the people who realize they've been kind of cut out after this time period that's very difficult for them.
Yeah.
So that's tricky.
Yeah, it is. Marriage is definitely an adjustment, I'm sure. But I just, like, even, I guess a lot of my friends aren't really married, but even when they start dating and then they kind of drop off the face of the earth, it's like, whoa, hold on, I'm over here. Like, wait, don't forget me. Especially like if you're still single and your friends do that, it kind of sinks. So, but also you need friends to like continue to follow up with you and recognize you're in a different phase of life. And, you know, once you get adjusted, you're going to want to hang out again and just communicate what day is good for you. You know, now that you're married, has it changed? Things like that.
Yeah, I think it's really easy in the modern world when you're bubble shifts, when you shift from single to dating, or when you shift from dating to married, and then when you shift from married to married with a child, when your bubble shifts, it is sometimes really hard to connect back down the line. And I think sometimes it's because people develop the sense of like exclusionary thought, like, oh, that person won't understand because they're not married, because yeah. they don't have a baby, because whatever it is. And you end up falling into this line of thinking that dismisses the person in another bubble, a bubble that you came from, but you're not part of anymore. And that's really hard to navigate for the people that are watching you move on with your life. Move on. I mean, forgive yeah. some of my terminology here. I'm trying not to make it hierarchical, but you've moved into another space. And it's hard for those people watching sometimes to be like, hey, I want to still talk to you. I want to yeah. still help you. I want us to still be close. And this person that's now in a new space doesn't consider them anymore. That's something I struggle with, being childless. I feel like sometimes people with kids, yes, I don't get having kids, but I understand being stressed. I understand some things. I'm no less human. You know, you've told me you struggle with this.
Oh, yeah.
Being not in a relationship. Yeah. So
I actually have a story to share about this, and I'll try okay. not to get on my singleness soapbox for too long. But I go to a church where everybody's married and they have children, and I'm kind of just like that single girl that doesn't really belong anywhere. I don't know. And so there's this group of people that have been having these couples that have been having all these game nights, and I kind of got word of it, and I'd been reading a book that was just talking about how singles just kind of need to advocate for ourselves and just speak up and say, hey, like, I don't care if I'm the eighth wheel or I don't even know, that's not right. Third wheel, fifth wheel, seventh wheel, ninth wheel, whatever. We don't know.
Yeah, an odd number.
You know
number.
What I mean? I want to be there. Like, you know, I still want to be involved with your group. And so I found out about these game nights, and one of the husbands was like, oh, we've never invited a single person before. But I guess we could. And I was just like, okay, way to make me feel so much more awkward.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, you know, I get it if it's like a game night where you need an even number of people, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. Like, they play Jackbox games or like something that it doesn't matter. And so after that, they did invite me and I went, and it was fine. But even if like you do need an even number of games, just, I can find a plus one. Like, I can find a friend to come with me or something. Like, still invite me. And if I can't find a plus one, then I'll just be like, okay, guys, I can't come. Whatever, well, it's fine.
No, but inevitably, there'll be someone that has to leave early.
Yeah,
or something.
True.
Like, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say. Don't forget your single friends, okay? We want to be involved and included.
Well, yeah, I mean, that goes back to what I was saying was, I think the onus gets put on the person that's in the previous bubble to really try to reach for this other person. Like, you know, you said it, the book recommended to advocate for yourself. So you had to go to these people and then they were like, huh?
Yeah, it was yeah, crazy. Wild. Like, they had never thought that before. I was like, what?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The petrification I would feel. Yeah, that's
yeah, and then after that I was like, well, do I even go? Like, with that kind of an invitation, it was like, oh, well, I guess we could invite you, but I did. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go.
Yeah.
And it was fine. I went to a few more after that. And then they had babies and they don't have game nights anymore. So
you know, it was good while it lasted.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. And hard to navigate. Oh my gosh. Interesting is a little bit of a cheap word. That's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I just give everybody a chance.
For sure.
Everybody yeah. is human. You know, people with different lifestyles, people with different neurodivergence, people with different disabilities or home situations or whatever it might be, there's still common ground.
Yeah.
There's still always. Something that can be found. And if you get in your head that someone doesn't understand you because they don't have X, you're really only depriving yourself of the opportunity yeah. for a friend.
And sometimes you'll really be surprised by who you end up really clicking with or something.
Absolutely. That's also very valid. Well, we were on a little bit of a tangent, but I think it was good.
Yeah.
Excellent discussion points. I'll come back to a story though. Comes from r/AITAH from Freak Babette. Am I the problem for telling my friends I won't host game night anymore after they kept showing up uninvited? So now we have a story where there's no invitations happening. We're just going in a full circle here.
Yeah.
I, 21 female, I've been hosting a weekly game night at my apartment for a few months now, and it's become a tradition among my friend group. I love having everyone over, and I put a lot of effort into setting up the space, preparing snacks, and picking games that everyone can enjoy. However, over the past few weeks, some friends have started showing up even when I didn't invite them or confirm they could come. At first, it was just one or two extra people. But last week, I had four friends show up unannounced, which totally threw off my plans and left me scrambling for snacks and space. When I brought it up to my friends, they brushed it off saying, "It's a game night. Everyone's welcome." But I feel like if I'm the one hosting and organizing everything, I should have a say in who comes and when. After the last incident, I decided to let them know that I won't be hosting anymore if this keeps happening. Now they're upset and calling me a drama queen for making it a big deal. Am I the problem for wanting to step back from hosting after they've been inconsiderate about RSVPing?
No, I don't think she's the problem here. Because hosting, it's hard. It's a lot. You put a lot of effort into it. I mean, you don't have to. Absolutely, you don't have to make any food or anything like that. But even like, what if her house isn't, you know, if she doesn't even have eight chairs or enough space for the amount of people she's comfortable having? So I think at least if you're gonna come uninvited or bring someone that wasn't invited, at least give a heads up, you know, before just kind of showing up. I don't think anyone's ever shown up to something I've hosted without saying, "Hey, I'm bringing a friend. Like, is that cool?" And I'll always say yes, but they always give some sort of warning, even if it's like on the way there, you know.
Where this could be tricky for me is if it's people that have been at a previous game night where this host has said something like, "Yeah, we do these every week," or said something that seems like it's a standing invitation. But then the following weeks, they're inviting different people. Oh. That's the only way I see this being on the host a little bit.
Yeah.
Outside of that, if this is people that are, you know, either just not answering the scheduling text and then showing up anyway, or people that have heard from a mutual friend that this is a game night and then showing up, that's not it.
Yeah.
That's not how you should behave, especially if someone is putting money into it as well to feed you, to whatever, something that requires a known number.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, like, space is an issue. You know, I have a relatively small house with an eat-in kitchen, and that's it. Like, I can only have so many people at my house. And I was even telling a friend recently, like, oh, if we do this certain encounter for our D&D sessions, I have to do it at your house.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely am going to need like an 8-foot table to pull this off. And so if that's your concern, your friends have got to respect it. And when you bring it up, they can't just be like, oh, the idea of game nights is that it's open. No, that's not. No.
Yeah. I feel like there's a group of people who subscribe to that thought process. And then there's also another group of people who perhaps know a little bit more about gaming and the seriousness of hosting that would never do something like that.
That's very true. I mean, there are people who have kind of open door policies in their daily life, like not even just on game nights, but that could absolutely love and thrive under that energy of managing the chaos. And maybe they are leaning towards something like Jackbox games, like you mentioned, or party games, or things that can be up to like a huge number of people. But if it's a serious game night, I remember covering a story for hosting where the person was like, once I have a number, and I think their number was up to 9, but they're like, once I know the number, then I choose what we're playing and everyone okays it. So say you're playing something very complicated, like Dune Imperium, Apiary, even something as hard as Twilight Imperium, and then 3 people show up uninvited. Now that's out. Like, we played a game today that had a 4-player cap.
Yeah.
And it was very casual and it was fine, but you know, you can get into trouble. You can divert the entire plan. Yeah, the comments are fairly harsh.
Oh, okay.
They definitely tell this person they're not the problem, but they're harsh towards the friends. Like, this one says, your first mistake is thinking any of these people are your friends.
Oh, no.
So, no, let's not go for that. Not the problem. Tell them they can host an everyone's welcome game night at their place. See how that goes over.
Yeah, seriously. There's some people that just never host and they don't actually understand what it's like to clean up after 12 people when they leave your house.
Oh my gosh.
Or even like if people just like track, I don't know, grass and mud in or something. It's just, there's more to it than just.
Or if you're expecting a certain number of people and therefore you've prepared something a little fancier, like for my D&D session last week, the hosts prepared, it was actually my girlfriend's husband, but he prepared like pans of lasagna and garlic bread and really good stuff. But if you exceed the number of people by a certain amount, they wouldn't be eating.
Yeah.
It's not the same as a bowl of chips and a bowl of popcorn and whatever, like.
And it depends on the personality of the host too, I would say. Like, if you have a host that's a super planner like me, I'm going to be freaked out if all these people come to my house. But if it's someone who's just kind of chill, go with the flow, you know, if we run out of food, it's fine. They're going to be okay. But there's definitely different types of people.
And I think you could even have someone who in the moment handles it very go with the flow, handles it very like, okay, well, we'll just order pizza or something and like figures it out. But that does not mean that they did not have a breakdown as soon as everyone left.
That's so
true.
That's so valid. Yeah. I think I would handle it well and then have my break. That would be me. You just describe me.
So I think I would be very much like that too. Like I'd be like, okay, we're going to solve this in the moment and then no one can come to my house for 4 days.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you would have to balance that. No, I think game nights, depending on what kind you grew up with, the popularity of board games right now and complicated board games and intense board games is still fairly new. So a lot of people didn't grow up in that. They didn't grow up with Pandemic and Catan and some of these that kind of bridged the gap for a lot of modern board gamers. And so maybe if you haven't done that, your frame of reference is much more casual, much more loud, much more party game oriented. And so you can get this ideology, you can get this idea that, oh, game nights are always a free for all, which is just not the case.
Yeah.
I'm more like this comment. I'm still not 100% behind it, I don't think, but it makes sense. Not the problem. But you shouldn't have told them it was because of what they did. That makes you sound like you're retaliating or punishing them. Instead, just stop hosting the events. Later, restart the events with a clear policy of invitation only, RSVP required. Or you could give each person a specific table and seat, so the non-flexibility is clear. Ooh. That's going a little far.
That's like a very formal game night, like wedding formal game night with assigned seats, you know?
You get your like table assignment as you walk in the door.
Yeah, as you walk in. Mm-hmm.
I like this one. Tell them it's time to start a rotation in the hosting. Whose house is next?
Ooh, yeah.
And then it says crickets. I bet no one even contributed anything. If nobody brought food, drinks, or even plates and cups, then they are more leeches than friends. Aww. Time to look elsewhere for friendship. Ended a little harsh, but that's a good point too.
Yeah, I think so, because you never hosted yourself. You don't even know how much goes into it. And are they even being appreciative? Like, are they even thanking this person for hosting?
Yeah.
Didn't sound like it, so.
And, you know, to go back to my wonderful friend and her husband that made us lasagna, the other participants brought things. One friend brought a fantastic salad to go with that. One friend made a gluten-free ricotta cake.
Yum.
That was delicious.
Yes.
I was in charge of drinks and cocktails for this time, so I didn't make anything fun, unless you count the state shot of Alaska as very fun, which you should.
Yeah.
It's called a duck fart.
Love it.
Equal parts Crown, Bailey's, and Kahlua. So 1-1-1, but that makes a pretty big shot, so reduce it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's that's what makes it lovely. That's what makes me really love my group, even though we're still kind of young, is that like everybody's so on board and contributed and equal, whatever. Yeah. So shout out to them. Shout out to Sarah and Josh for being wonderful. I'm going to save the other complication from this weekend for future stories, Sarah. I know you listen. But my compliments to you guys. Well, we've covered quite a bit.
Yeah.
Do you have any closing thoughts on invitations or where to draw the line or hosting?
I think a lot of it that we've talked about today kind of involves communication. Like, I think there were a lot of communication issues here, lack of communication or just unclear, you know, expectations. I think in any friend group, you've got to work on that.
Even communication styles, you might just need to recognize that you have a friend that communicates differently than you. And then if they communicate in a way that's kind of insufficient, let them know, have a grown-up conversation and say, hey, I really need you to RSVP if you're going to show up or whatever it is.
Yeah. And other takeaways, invite your single friends. Just had to throw that in one more time. And thank your host and be good to them.
Oh, thank your host. Invite the singles. Even though it sounds like a wild idea.
Crazy.
That no one would think
of. Wow, unheard of.
Oh, man. Well, those are our stories on today's table topic. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Tell us about it. Maybe you have a story of your own you want to share. We'd love to bring it to the table. Check out our links in the show notes. Good luck to you in your next game, and we'll catch you again here on Table Topics.